Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And we got some Angolites.
Right? Man, I love these stories, man.
That, yeah.
True history right from the past. Before we get started, we want to say our thoughts and prayers and what all our people in Florida and Georgia that are getting slammed right now. Or got slammed yesterday and, you know, came ashore as a Category 3.
And continue to get slammed.
And it's just bad. And they said they haven't seen a storm like that in 125 years. So just prayers for them. And I guess you call it Idalia, I-D-A-L-I-A. It's just bad. Prayer for them. We know what they're going through.
Yeah, we've been through a few of those ourselves, and so our hearts and prayers and thoughts are with those folks. And the road to recovery, you will recover.
Yes.
It'll seem like you won't, but you'll come back.
Yeah.
So we've been getting – look, we've done a lot of historical podcasts with relation to the Angolite, the prison weekly paper that Angola has put out for so many years. This is an award-winning paper all over the world.
And actually turned into a magazine because I had a subscription to it back in the 90s.
Absolutely. And so some of the stories from back in the day, y'all, you just won't believe until we read them. We've had a lot of people ask for us to do another one, got a lot of messages. So we're bringing you another one today because we got our hands on a lot of them from the 50s and 60s. So we kind of cherry pick what we feel like are the best stories out of those magazines, and we go over those with y'all. And I'll start it off. And this is an Angolite from April 21st, 1956.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a heck of a time in America, and even in Angola, as you're about to hear.
Definitely bloody Angola, man.
Yes, for sure. And as a matter of fact, we're going to start off with a bloody story at Bloody Angola, and it was a headline. It said, two dead, one hurt. Tragedy trip hammered a triple blow at Angola last weekend, leaving two inmates dead and another maimed for life. It says one of the two dead suffered fatal injuries in an accident. The second died of a heart attack, maimed with his right hand amputated at the wrist. Wow. Was a third.
Wow.
The dead, Charles D. Clarkson, 24, of Caddo Parish, he had fallen under the wheels of a tractor last Friday. Lord. A broken rib punctured his lung. He died en route to Charity Hospital in New Orleans. Lawrence Virgil Turley, 55, a carpenter, died Sunday afternoon. Lawrence Virgil Turley, 55, a carpenter, died Sunday afternoon at the General Hospital of a heart attack. Injured only a half hour after he had been assigned to work on the mammoth press at the tag plant, Venice Landry, 20, had his right hand mangled under the giant bolster ram.
Wow.
Which is the thing, y'all, that yeah, stamps it. Yeah, slams that plates. Steel and, yeah. and stamps those plates. His hand was amputated at General Hospital Saturday. Pretty wild stuff going on at Angle. And look, these days they don't give you those reports. Yeah. Typically, you really got to dig for them. So.
And the General Hospital really wasn't a hospital. That's when the nurse, the angel, they call it angel, was there. There was no doctor and all that. It's crazy, right?
That's right.
And the language they use in these, y'all, is really comical.
And you got to remember, this was a different time. So you'll hear things like colored and whites you know.
It's their words, not ours.
That's right.
All right, so the next one says, two fail in brief freedom bio. So Wallace McDonald and Herman Stroop are in a tight lock cells today following a brief bid for liberty Tuesday night. Security officials said the two took off from the transportation department in downtown Angola. That's funny. In downtown Angola Tuesday about noon. They were recaptured within a six-hour period by local authorities. Both formerly bedded down at Camp H2, the report said. Kind of brief on that.
Yeah. Basically, they turned a jet. And that's what I really like about these is they do tell you about the escapes and stuff. I mean, they don't hold back.
Downtown Angola.
Yeah. Well, how about this one? Cleaver in an attack try, it says. John Newton, a new prison kitchen worker, was jailed Monday on a charge of felonious assault with a meat cleaver.
Right.
Yes, sir. Newton is said to have sliced Albert Johnson upside his head following an argument. Johnson was hospitalized with lacerations.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, so Mr. Johnson got a
meat cleaver to the head.
You don't attack people with
bloody
meat cleavers.
Angola for sure, right?
That's right.
So, crazy. And then this next one, y'all, says, heavy equipment acts to rush free houses. Using earth from the miles-long embankment of the old Louisiana and Arkansas Railway right-of-way, the LSP Heavy Equipment Department, that's funny, under Superintendent Dennis Johnson, was last week engaged in an all-out operation to fill a five-acre plot of ground for the construction of 21 new free personnel houses. The plot is located on the B line at the foot of the old receiving station hill. It is to be filled to a depth of 36 inches. Johnson says he expects his department will wind up with the earth field operation within 2 weeks. Construction of houses will then start, he said. It's funny. They're talking about building part of the B-line.
Yeah.
Another 21 houses added.
Yeah. So this is back, y'all, for those that may just be joining us. The B-line is where all the free people live,
and inside the wire.
Inside the wire, and this was during the construction of that way back in 1956.
Yep. And my mama lived there.
Yeah,
during that time.
Yeah. So, and we'll go on into another page of this one, and there's an article that says more crippled birds. A second group of crippled pelicans, each with the wings broke by hail in the recent storm, were sighted last Sunday by deck passengers on the Angola ferry. The birds had roosted on the log a few feet from the shore and near the middle of the ferry landing. Observers said the wings will heal in time and that it is no rescue operation.
That's crazy.
So they even, and the reason we included that one is it's interesting that they try to keep you up to date with what's going on the outside.
Yeah.
And the only way they know that is to look out those bars and, right, that right. wire and, yeah. and actually see it. So, a little story on pelicans that who knew hail could injure their wings.
That's it. The news of the day, right?
Yeah.
All right. So this one says, oh, let us spray. An old-fashioned mattress spraying bee was held at Camp E last Monday under the eagle eye of the unit captain, A. Kuvuyon. The action was aimed at eliminating any wandering insects who had hoped to make the unit their dwelling place this summer.
They're
spraying for bed bugs, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
And something that you had to do up in Angola for sure.
Yeah, it had to be really bad for them to do it for the convicts.
That's right. And then we'll continue on, and there's one that says, falls upstairs, breaks his jaw. That's right. Joseph Tornabone, Camp H1 juvenile, fell upstairs one day last week and broke his jaw in three places.
Yeah, I bet that didn't happen.
The adolescent was returning to his bunk after a shower, according to the story told to the hospital. He was taken to Cherry Hospital in New Orleans for treatment.
Yeah,
so they're basically trying to say,
beat his ass.
Yeah, broke his jaw, slipped.
You better tell him you fell up the stairs, boy.
Yeah, that's it.
That's funny.
Broke his jaw in three places from a slip, huh? Yeah. So that was one that I really thought painted a picture of the times in prison.
It's funny. I think that's when they had the convict guards, too. All right, so here we go. The title of this is Pocketed Razor Draws Jail Term. It says, he told arresting officers he was just going to shave, but they didn't believe him. He is James B. Shrivers of the STU, and he was caught with a straight razor. The board assessed a term on bread and duck, because they said only blades for a razor are lawful.
Jesus Christ. And when they caught him with it, he said, well, I was just using it to shave.
Yeah, I was just using it to shave.
What's wrong with that? All right, how about this one? Fresh fish leave sheltered cluster as labor beckons. 34 fish, until recently swimming unfettered in the administration unit tank. And y'all, when they refer to fish, they're talking about new prisoners.
Right.
At the General Hospital have been screen tested, probed, and activated by members of the classifications board at a recent session. Purpose of the session was to ascertain whether the fish can earn his bed and board. A few whose records indicated they were unlikely to run were made trustees on the spot. Others who must wait and further test went on jobs under the gun.
That means in the field.
Yeah. 18 of the fish are today assigned to the Angola Cane, Corn, and Cotton Company as field laborers.
Corn and Cotton Company.
And in the number were those who will live at Camp A, H, and H2. Culinary work attracted three men, a clerkship and a garage work for a third, and a welding for a fourth. So they were classifying them into jobs.
Yep.
And of all those people, 34 fish, only three were made trustees. So that tells you most of them, they were like, you're going to run.
Those three had probably been there before. And then the ones under the gun, that's the shittiest job in the world. Can you imagine, like, this summer when it's 105 and then 116 with the heat index out there all day long swinging a hoe?
Yeah, that's crazy. Insane.
But they did something to get there. So
that's right.
This one says, Brown Bags Chops. John Hunt told the man he was hungry and he had purloined the poke chops, and they spell it P-O-K-E, y'all, for a midnight snack. The man sighed and put his pencil and notebook and told John, put them back. But on going through the gate again, the same suspicious bulge was evident. Searched the chops, were confiscated, as was also Hunt's trusty pass. From Pine Ford Dormitory, his mail is now being sent to the local jail.
Which means lockdown, basically.
Yeah, that's funny.
They locked his ass down.
His niggas knocked the extra pork chops out the kitchen.
Poke chops.
Yes. Okay.
So that was from that that one. And we're going to do another one here from August 11th, 1956. And there's a headline on there that says, Angola's informal hot seat. Someone at Angola that I'm not going to name, that I neither know nor care, was almost burned to a cinder one day last week.
Oh.
Oh, this guy must have been mad at him. It seems that this, quote, worker presumably was doing a little digging under the steel plate that separates the medium from the trustee compounds, which is located beneath the walkway directly below the snitch box at the medium security gate. So this dude was digging a hole in the ground
to get out.
He quit in a hurry. It gets better. When a bolt of sizzling lightning momentarily blinded him and luckily did not fry his hide. His shovel had cut through one of nine cables, each of which was alive with 2,300 volts of crackling death.
What?
Yes, sir. The soil around the cable was burned to charcoal. And if the lucky bum had come into contact with that current in that cable, they'd have been buried right there where they found him. Take this information for what it's worth and continue grave digging, the Angolite, or dig your own grave, literally, with the assurance that the Angolite will make your name famous throughout the state. It's up to you.
That's funny.
That guy was pissed he tried to escape. Trying to
dig out and dug into the cave lines.
Yeah.
That's those signs you see, don't dig here, right? They didn't have those back then. Crazy. All right. Here we go, Bloody Angola, right? So this one's called Dumbbell Opens Passot's Scalp.
Uh-oh.
Right? Beryl Passot, who was removed from the cell block in, to the hospital August the 8th with a head wound. Mm. Beryl, who was removed from the cell block area August 8th with a head wound, which he claimed to have suffered when a weight he was lifting fell on him. On his noggin. Hospital records show that he is getting along very nicely despite the 15 or 18 sutures required to close the clean type wound. It wasn't over.
Somebody hit him with a dumbbell.
Or hit him with a knife. Dumbbell wouldn't leave a clean open wound. It'd be smashed.
Hell, yeah.
Hey, but they weren't going to rat on each other. Take your lick.
And y'all imagine this now. This is the 50s, and these guys, there is no TV and all that. Right, I mean, this is the only entertainment you get, and the only way you can keep up with what's going on in prison.
Right.
As an inmate.
Right.
And
it was, you know, huge prison, right?
Yes. So we'll move on. This is February 21st, 1959 edition.
Right.
And the headline says, new prices at the camp store. And I really enjoyed this one because I'm going to give you actual prices. But it says, Mr. James Thornton, chief administrative officer, announced new price levels for many items at the camp store this week. And we have printed the price list on page 6. So when you go to page 6, I just highlighted some of these, and I'm going to read off to you that I found interesting. So back in 1959, if you needed some Alka-Seltzer, it was going to cost you 28 cents.
Really?
28 cents. Cheez-Its, 10 cents.
I can't believe they still had Cheez-Its back then.
Yeah, I know. It surprised me. Cigarettes. You want some king-size cigarettes? It's going to cost you 30 cents.
What?
So if you want some kings and then some regulars, 29 cents.
Yeah, but that was their currency back then.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they paid each other with.
That's right. So coffee, community coffee, 40 cents.
Community coffee way back then?
Way back then. And it was instant. Noxzema, 19 cents.
The hell's using Noxzema in prison?
That's a great – look, they got nail clippers for 20 cents. Really? Well, yeah.
Okay. You're going to keep yourself properly green.
That's it. Potato chips, 5 cents.
Really?
Yeah. Shampoo, White Rain brand. Huh. Who knew that was around then? Yeah. 41 cents.
That's crazy.
Rolling tobacco, 12 cents.
Wow. That's a big deal in prison, too, when I used to be there and they still had cigarettes. That you could tell who was a really poor convict because they had the Bugler and the can.
Yeah.
Or that blue can. The Bugler was a yellow, red, white, blue, and the other one was just a light blue can.
Yeah.
But they were the ones that couldn't afford the Camels or the Marlboros or whatever, and they had to roll their own cigarettes.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And the ones who couldn't afford any of those, when the other ones would throw their butts out, they'd go pick up the butts and smoke the butts.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Toothpaste. So, you know, everybody's got to have toothpaste. Well, it cost you 12 cents for Colgate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cheap.
Vicks salve, or salve, 35 cents. And they had Vaseline hair oil back then. That was 14 cents. So that's I'm going to take this and I'm going to post it on the Patreon.
Yeah, because it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff, but pretty cool to go through. They got pork skins on here. They got all kinds of stuff. Liver pills.
Liver pills.
What they call hi-hos, which are like crackers back then.
Yeah.
So we'll post that on there so you Patreon members can look through it and really have some fun.
Yeah, that's funny.
Checking that out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Out, and we'll go to September 10th, 1955, and Woody's going to start us off on that one.
All right, so September 1955. Airport here averages plane per day. Attendance at the Angola Airport were a shade busy last week. Logged in and out were three planes. They were real busy, huh? Monday, the Paul A. Lambert Cessna arrived and departed. Tuesday, the Jas F. O'Neill craft. And Wednesday, a Red 2 place plane bearing number N97024C.
Oh, my God. They even knew that.
Yeah, it's really funny. I know my mom and them, when she was on the probe board, they used to fly them around the state because it's more cost efficient.
Yeah.
And make quicker to get them there and stuff. But I can't believe they had it back in the 50s.
Yeah, because planes have been around a while. They were flying them in World War II
not passenger planes.
Yeah.
I mean, some, but I guess it was probably military surplus.
Yeah. One on the lam still running, it says. Police in four states. And I'm going to look up this case, y'all, because I was like, wow, this would be a good one to cover. Police in four states are today looking for Ray Coffrin, 28, a 15-year termer, formerly domiciled at Camp H. Huh. Donning a correctional officer's uniform, Coffrin quietly slipped out of the yard gate last Sunday. Bloodhounds failed to pick up his trail.
He must have somebody waiting on him.
Yeah, well, we have to check that one out. I've never heard of that.
I mean, he had a CO uniform and then got out. And if those the Angola Chase team couldn't get on him, he's gone.
He did.
If I was going to run,
a correctional officer's uniform. Yeah. Must have worked in a laundry or something.
If I was going to run or you were going to run, you'd have somebody waiting on you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be running those hills or trying to swim the river.
And I guarantee y'all, you know, one difference, because I've read a lot of these Angolites between then and now, is they don't post escapes in the Angolite anymore. They don't want any other prisoners reading that.
It's kind of like the mass shootings nowadays. We don't say the shooter's name, like the one that just did it at the Dollar General store. He did it. He copied one in the same city 5 years before and mentioned it in his manifesto.
That's right.
But anyway, all right. So let's go to September 10th, 1955. So that's 73 years ago, y'all.
Wow.
Next week or the week after. It says, new laundry washes for all. For the first time in the history of the Louisiana State Penitentiary, a centrally located laundry is now handling washing and ironing for the entire institution.
Oh.
Right? Today, wheels are rolling at the new prison, and a crew of 15 men is daily turning out clean sheets, towels, pants, shirts, and personal linen of male inmates at all camps. The work formerly had been done in part at the women's unit, the other part at individual camps. Set up in preparation for the time when all male inmates are housed at the new prison, the laundry, under the managership of Captain Bill Kerr, is currently turning out 1,100 pounds of dry wash hourly. With the mangle of four ironing sheets, the plant will later on press pants and shirts. 10 pressing units have been ordered and are to be installed, Captain Kerr said. A schedule has been worked out to handle washing 5 days per week. Saturday is general cleanup day for the plant. The plant at the women's camp now handles only free personnel laundry. They didn't want to mix them up, huh? Saying about that's your job. And another when building, you know, they didn't have AC and they turned out 1,100 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
And it's interesting that, you know, back then, 1955 is when they started just finally, you know, having this main laundry facility for the
prisoners. Well, the one thing they don't mention there is underwear, right?
Yeah.
So when you get in, they give you state prison prison-issued underwear. But when you do send your stuff into the laundry, I let most inmates keep their underwear and have their bitch wash them. That's why I say you'll be tossing salads and washing dirty drawers. They'll actually rent out their bitch to wash people's dirty underwear in their sinks, and they hand scrub them with soap and wash them, and they hang them and make them fresh for whomever for like a couple cigarettes.
Wow. There you go, straight from the wolf right there. Prison guard post reaching skyward, this one says. Those new two-story steel skeletons you see poking skyward with the yellow-painted girders are indications it won't be long. They're the structural steel columns for the new guard towers at the new prison.
Mm-hmm.
Each will be complete with glassed-in cupola and searchlight.
And they're still there today.
Yeah, they made them to last back in those days, but built those steel new guard towers way back then.
Yeah, the funny thing about those is when you go up in them, the outside door is locked, but they're manned 24/7. Never take off. So if you go in, I've worked them before. You go in, they actually sit on the outside of the fence, right? So inmates can't get to that door. And so you have to go to the door and holler up at the guard, the CO, and they lower you a key down. And you unlock it, and it's on a string. They pull it back up, and you go in, and you lock it from the inside, and it's got a spiral staircase. And so you come through like a trap door, and it's a round room. That's where your gun, your rifle, and your shotgun is, and, you know, your lights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Awesome.
All right, and then a telephone, that's the only other thing you have. You might have a radio, but, you know, pretty interesting. All right, so let's go to, again, on September 10th, 1995, and I'm going to read
55.
I'm sorry, 55, I keep getting wrong. says, free ferry soon to open at St. Francisville, according to the Plainsman of Zachary. Yeah, that's the Plainsman is the Zachary newspaper. According to the Plainsman of Zachary, named the Feliciana, the vessel costs $200,000 and it may take a load off the Angola ferry. Visitors may enter via the front gate.
Interesting.
I have to ask my mom about that because it didn't run for long.
Yeah.
Now they have the ferry that still to this day that runs across into, I think it might be a Vols. It runs across the river and a lot of free people, live over there or they'll drive into that ferry and the ferry drives them across and they come in. But this one would imagine how many COs lived in St. Francisville.
Yeah. Right?
Which is back then you had to take that long ass hour-long road out, then get to St. Francisville another 10 or 15 minutes. I guess they just ran them right up the river, about a 15-minute ride.
Yeah, and back then you had to have a ferry to go across that river.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's no bridges, you're right.
So continuing on, this one is hilarious, y'all. It says, voodoo, hoodoo. So you've seen those copper wire amulets and necklaces of beans and so on. Voodoo stuff, maybe. Anyway, Edward Harris of Camp A walked up to the man last week and said people were after him. He didn't elaborate whether he had been hexed or just plain conjured. They locked him up lightly in the sneezer until the bug doctor examines his head.
he was one, we call it 103 in a mental case.
Yeah.
And the man said they after him, so they lock him up.
The funny thing is with that particular deal is this guy's exposing him to the whole prison.
Yeah.
So these guys, look, they gossip worse than anybody you've ever seen. They're all nosy.
They got nothing else to do.
That's right.
And so they basically said he went to the man and ratted himself out.
Yeah.
Crazy. Put him in the sneezer, right? The
sneezer.
So, ex-guard hurt in camp fracas.
Uh-oh.
Frank Peoples, who until last Saturday was a guard, was busted back to trusteeship that day. So that means he was inmate guard.
Yeah.
The following morning, he was rushed to the general hospital suffering with a knotted head. He's resting well on tie-color ward today. All right. So, yeah, think about this. The prison guards, and we talked about that. That was a way for them to save money and everything back then. But at nighttime, they might have had one CO per camp. And nighttime, they just locked them in. And the prison guards in there were like gods, right?
Yeah.
And if you could get one taken out, he got demoted and then he got his ass beat that night. So,
love that. And we got a couple on this page, and they're short, so I'm going to read a couple, and I'll let Woody read a couple. The first says, bathing to be enforced. Yes. Beware your long-eared scouts and men of wrath who nothing fear except a bath. White dormitory at the new prison were all set to give one of their number a dunking last week on account that he hadn't put the showers to use since he entered the joint.
Oh my God.
Which is a violation of the rules. Besides, so that was a little short one. Whether
even most of the convicts don't like a stinky ass.
That's right.
You get some people in there, not only have they not ever followed the rules in civilization, but they don't have any personal hygiene. So I think what they're probably saying is the inmates drug him in there and scrubbed
exactly
his ass
what they
down.
Did. Gave him a GI shower.
Yeah, you stinky motherfucker.
Yeah, they basically forced his ass to take a bath. He must have been stinking. Imagine you're working out in those fields all day. Oh, my
nasty.
Gosh.
No deodorant and everything else.
How you would think you'd want to take one. But anywho, localite knifed in camp affray. Henry Davis at Camp F underwent a ham stitching at the emergency ward of the General Hospital one day last week. Henny ran afoul of a knife in the hands of an unidentified assailant.
Imagine that, he's unidentified. He ran afoul of him.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I love the way they wrote back then.
And I love
just
it.
Just a totally different dialect.
Nobody was ratting anybody out. They just did it, right? So.
Yeah, unidentified.
Well,
I'm sure.
Let's go. And again, this is still September 10th, 1955. and says, cuts out early, ends in jail. He was trying to get to camp early for dinner. Mm. Calvin Mitchell, Camp A trustee, told officials last week, cutting grass with a crew, Mitchell was missed at a field camp.
Uh-oh.
A chase ensued, and the lad was found wandering. They put him in the hole, pending DB action. The disciplinary board, y'all, actually. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, basically, he tried to say, I was just hungry, yeah, going early to eat.
To get in line first. Get
he's going to run.
Get that meal. All right.
Wandering.
This is the next one. Pipe used in knotting spree.
Mm.
When Warren Guidry of Camp of F uses a pipe, he uses a big one. One and a half inches. One day last week, he wielded it with painful and telling effect upon the noggin of Manson Powell, authorities said. Guidry is awaiting the outcome of trial. Powell is awaiting the taking off of bandages. That's funny as shit.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's Poor like Mr. every Powell. Day that one this one's getting night, this one's getting ahead, and
I'm telling you. And then
and the noggin.
Yes, the noggin. And look, we're going to go way back to 1954, November 27th. Mm-hmm. And the headline on this one really, really struck my interest. It says 34 shot in rabies tryout.
What?
Yeah. So now y'all got to remember there was a time there was no rabies shot, right? If you got rabies, you just went nuts or whatever. And a lot of times when they would get these shots, they would try them out on like inmates.
New medical procedures.
Yeah, yeah. That would be, they would be the guinea pigs,
drug companies,
right?
Come in and basically pay the prison or to get their test subjects.
Yeah. So it says 34 Angola inmates, six of them women, are today nursing slightly sore arms in what is said to have been the first guinea pig effort ever made here in the interest of medical science. The 34 last Saturday and Sunday were given the first of a series of inoculations aimed at testing a new type of vaccine for the treatment of rabies. All were volunteers, the prison management said.
Yeah, I bet.
Maybe, and they might have paid
them
something.
They probably gave them a cigarette or
something. Yeah. Under the auspice of the School of Medicine at Tulane University at New Orleans, the inoculations were given by Dr. D.P. Conwell, a Tulane medical staffer. And I mean, there you are at the start of the rabies vaccine in history. And who knew Angola played such a big part in that?
Well, I'd actually heard something before about them trying new procedures on convicts, because who were going to complain?
Yeah.
And they gave them a couple of smokes. And they were like, whatever.
That's
I'm
going
to die here anyway.
Yep.
And I was like, give me the shot. That's crazy. That shit wouldn't fly nowadays.
No.
All right. So let's take you to the next one we're going to do. And it says, count sores, official, and that's spelled count sores, S-O-A-R-S, official sore, S-O-R-E, fresh fish may find no room. And then y'all, we're talking about fresh inmates. Today's inmate population swelled to a total of 2,810, brought consternation to camp officials and worried frowns to the management last week. For the head count is the highest here since the end of World War II, an authoritative source said. Already overcrowded at most units, Angola camp chiefs have been hard put to find sleeping room for their new boarders. The count is suspected to hit 3,000 by mid-year of 1955.
Oh, dang.
Can you believe that? That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's double that now. But
they've added on.
Yeah, they got a bunch of other prisons now, too. They didn't have DCI and Wynn and all those other prisons back then.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're still in 1954, and it says, here's that stuff again. Like the old saying about the character who every time he opened his mouth put his foot in it. Last week, the Angolite carried a story about a patch of that nauseous stuff, okra, situated just outside the fence of the woman's camp. And proving that the dames don't look into other people's backyards, as soon as she had read the account, Buxom Alice said, Buxom Alice, they called her Buxom Alice. Yeah. Buxom Alice said, "Where's the okra? Why, I just love okra." Yesterday at all units, the food service department ordered for supper, you guessed it, boiled okra. Yuck.
That's funny.
They didn't like that boiled okra.
They were feeding them. And
I kind of like
them.
Okra myself.
Yeah, I did too. Especially my Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
It didn't cost them a whole lot to feed them.
Buxom Alice. She liked her some okra.
Right. Buxom Alice. That's funny. All right, y'all. I'm going to read you these next two. So, four men fail to rise, shine. Captain says, your neck is mine. Four localites who bed down at Camp A were collared by police at that unit one day last week and charged with failing to rise and shine in the morning, as is customary in places like this. The four, Claudius Wall, Victor Stewart, Howard D. Keys, and Robert Lewis, were escorted to the camp lockup to wait action of the disciplinary board. Because the quartet was asleep when they should have been awake, the camp count was snafu'd. Nothing will irritate a prison management as much as a fouled up count of heads, it was said. You messed up the count, you were going in a hole. That still happens today. And these dudes just didn't want to get up, right? So
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Funny. All right.
Love it.
Let me read this one. Loader whops hurts worker.
Uh-oh.
Sammy Robinson of Camp F was hospitalized Monday for injuries when he met up with a cane sling while working on a loader near the unit. Robinson is said to have been whopped about the head by the loader slings, which broke loose.
Oh, my God.
He's on the colored ward. Wow, so I guess one of the things flew off the machine,
or somebody
hit him in the head with one of those size, right? That's crazy.
Yeah, they're not going to write each other up.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to 1955, June 18th, and this headline says STU, and I'm not sure what STU stands for.
It's going to be a special lockdown unit.
There you go. STU men stage short-lived buck.
Yeah.
Right. Residents of the STU disgruntled over the quality and distribution of the food and a few other items refused to enter their mess hall Wednesday evening, declaring a camp-wide buck. That's right. When the people came, however, the usual conversation settled everything.
You're like, I'm about to shoot your ass.
The usual conversation. Right. I love it.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that was.
So bucking up, y'all, and I've been a part of a couple of them, but they were like, fuck it, we're not doing it, and we're going to protest. And Warden Burrow came, and we talked about this on episode.
Yeah.
Came in, and he said, grab it. give the first one. They weren't going to work in the crawfish plant. Give the first one direct verbal order, and as soon as they say no, arrest them. You know, you still get arrested. So bucking up, and the usual conversation was had, probably the same thing. Like I said back then, we're going to shoot you.
That's right.
If you don't go to work. All right. So June 18th, 1955, a little girl wants her dog. Tuffy, where are you? A farm-wide search has failed to produce any sign of Tuffy, the six-year-old Boston Terrier who was owned by Flumber foreman Harry Dreyer, but made his home at Camp E and claimed the yard there as his personal domain. Dreyer says he is sure Tuffy is not dead. His body would have been found by this time, he reasoned. Meanwhile, Tuffy's little mistress, 8-year-old Nikki Dreyer, sent the following message to the Angola Light. My dog's name was Tuffy. He was 8 years old at the time he disappeared. He was a faithful dog, and I loved him so. I was raised with Tuffy. He was smarter than most dogs. I do have 3 other dogs, but they will never mean as much to me as Tuffy. Please bring him back to me, Nikki Dreyer. I wonder if my mom knew her.
That's crazy. So this was apparently a plumber foreman that his daughter had a dog that hung out at the at the camps.
And they were all inside the well.
Daughter sent a plea to the Angola.
So let me do another one real quick. It says, stray dog roundup now in operation. In accordance with an order from the management, all stray dogs on the farm are being rounded up for disposal each evening. The drive will be in effect through July the 4th. So they were looking for the stray dogs. They were killing their ass.
For disposal.
Right.
That's crazy.
They cooked them.
1955, y'all. All right, what's in a name? This was a good one. James Williams, who boards at Camp I and has a Yankee accent, which he acquired in Madison County, Wisconsin, wishes the management would learn that he is not James A. Williams. It's a little confusing at first, but not so very difficult once you get the hang of it from Williams. There, James A. Williams lives at Camp A, he explained earnestly as our eyes began to get glassy. Like last October, I almost went to the Red Hats, he continued, or November when they called me to the visiting room and walked me into a family of total strangers, he continued. It's getting so I never know who I am, much less where I am. Williams said it happened again last week. He came within a split second of appearing before the parole board with a lawyer and 4 relatives, but not his relatives. I keep wondering what's going to happen when this other boy's time is up, he sighed, shaking his head dolefully. It is an interesting thought at that.
What was his name?
James A. Williams, but they had 2 James A. Williams.
They probably had 5 of them.
Yeah. And so
he's from Wisconsin. Boy, you know he was doing a hard time. I left Wisconsin the other day. It was 50 degrees in the morning. I got in Louisiana. It was 100 degrees.
Come on.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, James A. Williams, hopefully they
release the guy. Madison County, correct. Too, which is where the guy was from. So.
Wow.
All right. Busy tag plant takes short order from June 18, 1955. An order for 40 large game preserve signs, each with replicas of the Bob White quail in the corners, was turned out on time by the tag plant last week. They are on 24-hour duty, producing 1 million new auto license tags for 56.
Unbelievable.
Plus hundreds of steel bunks for the new prison, sheet metal gutters, and what have you. Most of these y'all are just like a little bitty short, a little
updates.
Short.
Yeah.
But a little bit short articles. All right, so the next one says, knife victim has loss of memory, I can imagine. Hyde Walker of Camp F was hospitalized Tuesday with superficial knife wounds on his left arm and shoulder. Stricken with a lapse of memory, Sales was unable to recall how he got hurt. Security officials suggested that he might have got careless while shaving.
Is great.
They weren't even worried about
him. And they might have been the ones that hurt him.
Right.
He might have got lax while shaving. Yeah, that's crazy. Here's one I found interesting. It says, dental clinic cracks own record. So, the biggest week in the history of the dental department went on record during the 7 days from June 5th through the 11th of 1955, according to their bookkeeping department. The figures show a total of 115 patients were handled, seven plates were complete and fitted, and 12 others were put into process. There were 51 extractions.
Right.
34 marked miscellaneous and a variety of other entries. So basically, they pulling teeth left and right. And, that 1 week they pulled 51 teeth. I thought that was interesting.
Too many feelings when they could just rip them out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll give you this one. It says, two used razor blade put cells in stitches. Two unidentified colored women from Camp D were treated for minor lacerations at the emergency ward last Tuesday. Weapons used is said to have been a razor blade. Following treatment for both, they were released and returned to camp. So they tried to commit suicide.
Yeah, well, I wonder if
two women.
I wonder if they got in a fight with each other. Maybe they did. Two of them, a couple of women came in and were treated for minor. They might have gotten in a knife fight with each other.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe it was suicide. I don't know. All right. So September 18, 1954, y'all. Uniforms for free personnel soon. For the first time in the history of the Louisiana State Penitentiary, correctional officers will be garbed in uniforms. Wow, this is interesting. Hats, coats, trousers, and shirts are on order and will be issued, Secretary Chief W.H. Maynard said Wednesday. The uniforms will be of a forest green hue with beige-colored shirts, the official said. There will be no badges, however, nor any marks of rank worn. A shoulder patch will designate the wearer as an LSP officer.
How about that?
Right, 1954 is when they got the first uniforms.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it had been around since 1901 as a state prison.
Yeah.
And it took till 1954 to get it. So they just wore whatever they wanted, I guess.
They just wore
button-up shirts or something.
Blue jeans or something. Real quick, at the top of this page, and it says Dixie's Only Prison Weekly, the Angola Lightning, gives Volume 2, Number 41, Angola, Louisiana, September 8, 1954, 10 pages, right? But then they have this box that says warning, and with four exclamations behind it. Laggards are warned. Monday, September 20th, is the deadline for filing your petition for the October Pardon Board. Don't get stuck out.
Even in Angola, inside of Angola, you have thieves that steal from other inmates, right? And the barbershop got looted.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and they posted, the barber is offering a reward in this article. It says, yes, sir, it never rains, but when it rains, it pours. Seems a fella has to get down in bed sick to find out who his friends are. Monday, Dees, the rotund Camp EX barber, woke up one day at the general hospital where he is suffering from a diabetic onset to find out that his shop at Camp E had been burglarized. Missing, he said, is $300 worth of barber tools and unfurnished leather goods. Dees has posted a $25 reward for the arrest and conviction of the miscreant, or he'll pay it for the return of the goods. No questions asked.
$25 back then. Shit, you could almost buy a car for
that. But he was basically saying, look, if you took it, if you just give it back to me, I'll give you $25.
Right.
Or I'll pay someone $25 to find out who it was. So
that's pretty much their craft, and each camp would have one. That's an esteemed position, right? And most of them,
and $300 worth back then.
That's a lot.
Inside prison, that's $1 million.
Yep. September 18th, 1954, free inmate menus. now the same. For what is believed to be the first time on Angola, menus for free personnel and inmates were identical last week, with the exception of breakfast. The innovation is by order of food services manager J.H. Bonnet. A huge saving is expected to result from the consolidation, the food department said. Breakfast in the inmate dining rooms are planned, but for free personnel consists of short orders only. I guess your free personnel, you can order your eggs over easy or whatever, and the rest of them are just getting shit on a shingle. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, so you actually have a choice if you're free personnel. Yeah. If you're not free personnel, you get what they throw on that plate. Yeah. I'm going to read a couple of these, and I'll let Woody read the last one we're going to do for you today. And this was a correction from Old Wooden Ear. And he says, irate camp effers have asked for a correction. Seems one Freddie Armstrong, whom the Angolite said last week had been stabbed in a humbug, was not from Camp F, but from Camp A. The Angolite is happy to make this correction and with the hope that if any others get stabbed at Camp F, they won't bleed.
Oh, that's funny.
So even the Angolite had to issue retractions, right? Yeah. And then this one says, escapee guards play hide and seek. Guard lines were still out yesterday for Euless Baker, 28. A colored Camp C trustee who was found to be missing last Saturday. Baker, serving a 7-year sentence, is thought to still be hiding somewhere on the farm.
Huh.
How about that? They were escaping left and right back in them days.
That's the way it was. They're still trying to, but they got a whole lot more security stuff in place.
The
razor wire and all that, and the wolf dogs. All right. This one says, Frazier, big headlines, Frazier is oldest, exclamation mark. A glance at the records settled the question once and for all. Who's the convict with the longest time and point of service on Angola? Records show Charlie Frazier, we need to talk about him.
Yeah.
Records show Charlie Frazier, Camp H2 Hospital Steward, was received in September of 1933 with one sentence of 18 years, one of 28 years, and a life term, all stacked on top of the other. Charlie is registered number 23409, is the oldest on the books. His discharge date, however, is still 20 years away. The book says December 3rd, 1974. Now, look, in the DOC, you're known by your inmate numbers, right?
Yeah.
So now they're long. Fucking, that means he was the 23,409th inmate ever when he came in.
Wow.
Ever go through the gates of Angola.
Yeah.
Since after the Civil War when they started.
And probably one of the most notorious,
really
in American history. There's a whole big long story for Charlie Frazier, and we will tell his story one day.
Yeah.
He's a tough one to research because, this was so long ago. But I'm going to come up with some stuff for him. Just two quick short ones, and then we got to wrap it up for today. This one says, toe whacked off.
What?
Andrew Peters, a resident of the STU, lost the third toe on his right foot via surgery last week. The operation was performed at the Angola General Hospital. So something happened. He had to whack his toe off.
Maybe he had diabetes or something.
And then the one below it says, three in a hassle. Three juveniles at H1 were sporting an assortment of moused eyes, puff lips, and other sores today as the result of a free-for-all hassle last Tuesday. The trio, all of whom were unidentified, were given first aid, a piece of steak for their eyes, and sent home.
Man, they love the piece of steak. Yeah. It was baloney.
Yeah, there wasn't no steak, I can promise you.
We need to look into that, too, because, they're housing the juveniles there now, and they're so fucking pissed off about it. But evidently, back then, they had women and juveniles, too.
Yeah, they sure did. And so we'll be bringing you stuff on that. And appreciate all you patrons out there that follow. Look, we dropped a bonus episode Monday just for patrons where we covered the first 20 death row inmates that are requesting clemency and got those hearings.
Right.
We went into an in-depth breakdown of each of those. Dropped that on Monday. So if you're not a patron, join the patron. You can get that. Another quick announcement, Apple Podcasts. For those that don't do patron for whatever reason, we're now on Apple Podcasts as a subscription option as well. You just go to your Apple Podcast app and you'll see it. I'm going to label all those. It'll say Apple Podcast bonus episode.
Yeah, also when what happens on Apple Podcasts, anytime you go to the Apple Podcast player and you type in Bloody Angola, it'll pull it up and it'll give you like I think it's free trial for whatever for seven days
and
you know, the list of episodes and everything else.
Yeah, so
it's pretty cool deal. Actually.
If you're not and you want to try it out, there is a free trial.
Either don't know what Patreon is or they don't want to use it. I have on the regular Real Life of Crime. So
Some people want and they want to listen to their podcast through one particular app,
right,
not have to go different places. So Apple Podcasts
if you like
enables
it and you want to try it, and you get your free 7-day trial and go listen to some bonus episodes because we got a ton of them.
We got a ton.
And thank y'all, and we love you so much. And we appreciate each and every one of you.
Yeah, and until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola.
A podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.